Good morning. Thank you so much for joining us today for the Word for Life radio ministry. I'm Pastor Greg Huffman, and with me in the studio, Pastor Ken Keltner, our senior pastor. And Nick and Rochelle Knudsen have been sharing their life and their testimony with us the last couple of times. And boy, what a testimony. You guys have gone through all different kinds of beliefs and behaviors and issues. And Nick, about a year after you got married, you truly realized, listening to a message, that your conversion was a false conversion, so to speak, and you finally realized what sin was and the whole thing. You got saved that afternoon, and Rochelle, you came in from work about an hour later. He tells you this, and we left off the last broadcast with, what? I thought you were already saved. I don't understand this.
Right. I remember him. He had been listening to that message. It was actually when I was having a Tupperware party or something.
Oh, okay.
He was hiding in the extra bedroom and just keeping himself occupied and away from all my friends. And after everybody left, then he was telling me about the message that he had listened to and true and false conversions. And he was going through and explaining what he had heard about the Ten Commandments and how he was convicted on it, especially on thou shalt not murder. And I knew, just, you know, obviously from conversations that we had, that, you know, he did have the hatred in his heart for different people. And but yet going through the Ten Commandments, as he said, our the pastor in our church had been going through those over quite a while. I don't know how long he preached on it, but he was going, what I thought was, in depth into each commandment.
Right.
And so it was all information that I knew. It was head knowledge.
Right.
But I didn't realize at the time that it hadn't hit my heart yet.
Mm.
And so he was telling me this, and, you know, he was deeply convicted on hating somebody is murder.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking, yeah, good. I know. Yeah, that's good.
I'm glad
you're right.
You learned it.
Yeah. About time you changed.
Meanwhile, I could tell, you know, in his head, he was saying, yeah, but what about you? You know, what about what you've been saying? And, you know, look at the depth of what God says. And I just remember thinking, but you were saved. Okay, so you weren't, but now you are. Okay, good. And yet...
But he was coming back to you that maybe you need to get saved?
Right.
How did you respond with that?
I clung to the prayer that I had said as a child.
Yeah.
And clung to the actions mm-hmm. that I had done, continuing to go to church, you know, reading the Bible, being in Bible studies, mm-hmm. being one of the coordinators in the nursery, being in kids' choir, all the things that I had done. And the prayer that I said the prayer, I repented, I asked God to forgive me. Didn't that mean that I was saved?
What else was there, basically?
Exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so I was adamant that I was saved, even though I knew that my life didn't reflect it.
So, Nick, she's adamant, I'm a Christian. Quit telling me I'm not a Christian.
Right.
I mean,
Were you actually telling her she wasn't a Christian?
Well, maybe not that bluntly. Maybe I did at times, but
I didn't.
Yeah. Pretty close.
Okay,
yeah.
All right.
I didn't know she was getting very upset, and I kind of, you know, as like a lot of new believers, you're pretty zealous for the Lord and not always doing it in the right way, I guess, with the right spirit. And so... But I learned, I finally backed off over a time because it made her pretty upset. In fact, I recall a couple of times of her storming out of the room because I was constantly kind of hounding her.
Right after she put strychnine in your cereal.
Right.
right. Okay, we understand.
And so by God's grace, you know, he laid it on my heart, just pray for her. You know, just pray for her. You've witnessed to her often now, and obviously I'm upsetting her. So I started praying, and this went on for years. We ended up moving back to Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm. Did you have children at this time, too?
We had our first child, Abigail.
Abigail.
And then Hannah later. And I just kept praying, and I quite honestly just, you know, I started questioning myself, like, maybe I shouldn't be questioning her faith. Maybe she is saved. Maybe she, you know, because she would explain why she believed she was saved. And so I just let up, and I would pray, and I prayed a lot, Lord, if she isn't saved, please save her. If she is, please confirm it. And these kind of things. Well, and then we started attending Brookside about 11 years ago. And so we were coming here. And I recall I started listening to a certain people preaching online. And I think I suggested some messages to Rochelle. And that's where she listened to a particular individual. And I think she would like to share about that.
In in November of 2008, one of the people that he was listening to was Paul Washer.
Mm-hmm.
And he'd say, hey, come listen to this. You know, I heard this today. And I heard his wife's testimony. And that really convicted me.
Oh.
And got me to wonder, then finally wondering, am I truly saved?
Hmm.
And looking at knowing what the Bible says, and then looking at my actions, looking at the life I truly lived, not just what I said, and then saying, wait a minute, if this person and the life that she lived, if she wasn't truly saved, maybe I'm not. And so then I started, at some point in there, I was convicted and started praying and talking with Nick, and he was really suggesting, especially 1 John, you know, if you are saved and if you're not, you know, if you're not saved, you need to be saved. And if you are, mm-hmm. you know, let God guide you and show you that
sure.
you are.
Right.
And so I was praying a lot, convicted, yet still clinging. And then we had come to the revival here at Brookside. And I can't even remember who it was that was preaching, but that was also another big...
I see.
Kind of basically slap in the face of, no, I really am not living the life that I should be if I'm a follower of God.
Mm-hmm.
And so then I came to a point where I had to just realize I am not saved, but then I felt like my whole life had been a lie. Mm-hmm. Because I had always said that I was saved from when I was 4 and was growing up doing, you know, living the Christian life. And then here I am. No, I'm now truly saved. Well, I thought you were saved before. And so I felt like I was showing myself a liar, not realizing that I had been living the hypocritical life and was now truly coming to salvation. Mm-hmm. So at that point, we had the 3 girls. Sarah was a baby. And so, especially through studying 1 John, then I realized, no, I wasn't saved because my life didn't reflect mm-hmm. the life of a true believer.
So you basically had to humble yourself, Rochelle, then, to admit your hypocritical life.
Right.
But it was the Word of God, and that's so vitally important that those who are listening to us this morning to understand, they can listen to all different kinds of people on the radio and hear our testimonies, things like that. But God's word is what he used to just bring you to the truth and then to recognition, this is true.
Right. Right. So I had to come to the point then where I realized my past didn't matter.
Yeah.
And what I said in the past didn't matter.
Mm.
What mattered was that I submit to God. I trust him. I repent and turn away from the sinful life that I had been living.
Mm-hmm.
And finally surrender and follow him mm-hmm. and seek him and obey him and ask him to change my life
mm-hmm.
through his word.
It's amazing how he does it, isn't it?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what year? So it was after revival service or something along that line that you...
Yeah.
Okay. That you said, I want to put my trust totally in Christ and mean it.
Right.
Yeah. And then I remember you followed the Lord in baptism after that too.
Yes.
Yeah, I do. I remember.
Because that was another point where I remember thinking, you know, once you're saved, you need to follow the Lord in baptism.
Mm-hmm.
But I had already been baptized a year after I graduated college.
Mm-hmm.
But then I remember thinking that had no meaning, that had no significance.
Mm. Right.
So, Nick, she tells you she's made this decision to put her faith and trust in the Lord, and
mm-hmm.
there was high-fiving and great excitement around your house.
It was excellent. In fact, we were members at Brookside. I was in 2008 or 9.
2009.
February, and so she had to get re-voted in
mm-hmm.
as a member and get baptized. And I was pretty excited. And I remember our conversation when we came home from the revival. She was in tears.
Yeah.
And I just told her, I said, you know, you need to talk to God on this. I've told you what I think, and it's time to get with him and just see where you're at, really.
Mm-hmm.
And so, it was pretty amazing to see God working in her heart. And it was pretty awesome, you know, just knowing then, mm-hmm. you know, that she was truly saved.
Pastor Greg, it's awesome to listen to Nick and Rochelle here because, I mean, he was an atheist, you know, at one point.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, one thing, we've been making the comment in our study of Romans chapter 1 that an atheist isn't born, you know, they're educated, they make up their mind, I'm not going to believe in God. And the beauty is God didn't give up on you.
Right.
I mean,
right. Yeah.
He kept bringing people into your life.
Yeah.
Have you been able to make contact with any of those folks, like the third shift guy that you used to get all ticked off at?
I tried to, but he ended up moving, and I don't know where he went.
Oh,
but same with the pastor. I tried to contact him after I got saved, and I wanted to share that with him. But
well, you know what? You get to heaven, you'll be able to spend a lot of time saying, hey, I know I was angry at you, but I was there. I'm very thankful now that you kept sharing that with me.
Right, exactly.
So what has God done in your lives since the two of you— no questions about salvation. What's God's plan for your life at this point?
Well, for me, he's put a passion in my heart for his word. Like I said before, I love Christ. I love Christians now.
Right.
I love serving him. When we came to Brookside, shortly thereafter, we got involved right away with being greeters and working at the information desk. Rochelle kind of went down the nursery path and still serves there. And I went into ushering. And then after a few years, God put a desire in my heart to teach his word.
Okay.
So I started on a small scale teaching in usher meetings and I taught at a nursing home or preached there for about a year and then did a Bible study at a juvenile correctional facility. Because I used to have a really strong heart for guys that were young teenagers that were into drugs or alcohol, things like that, because that was kind of my lifestyle. And he just led me through that. And through all that, we've gone to the Hispanic ministry here at Brookside, and we've been there, 6.5, 7 years?
7 years, almost.
And served there. And
you've learned to speak Spanish.
Yeah. So
that is both of you?
Uh-huh. Yes.
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah, God, that's all of God, too, because we pretty much learned on our own through that ministry, and we've been speaking for about 5 years now. Still learning, obviously, but I've had opportunities to go to Panama, Costa Rica, teach in that ministry.
And you can teach and preach in Spanish?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow, that's a great...
And so, yeah, but I have a passion for discipling believers, for just, I want to see people come to Christ, and I'd like to see them grow in Christ. And so I think it's amazing how God took me, I turned my back, I rejected him, I hated him, and now he gave me a strong love for him and his word.
Yeah,
That's only of God, because that wasn't my nature, you know, so he's... Mm.
And it's like you said, Nick, because of what you've experienced, you can understand what other young people are experiencing,
mm-hmm.
and so many times... It's a misunderstanding of what faith really is. Mm-hmm. A lot of teenagers think, well, I'm going to pray and ask God to do this or not do that. And if they don't get, quote unquote, the answer to prayer they're wanting, that just totally discombobulates them.
Right.
Like, well, forget that mess, you know. What a testimony you guys have given us.
Yeah, thank you for sharing it with us and being willing to go on the air and share it.
Yeah. Thank you for the opportunity.
Any last thoughts before we close?
Well, ultimately, just seek God through all things and trust him and not in our own strength and seeking God for the strength to change us, because only he can change us from inside.
You got 5 beautiful children?
6 now.
6?
Yeah.
Man, I can't keep up. I can't keep up. I can't even keep up with my own half the time. So 6. That's awesome.
Fantastic. Well, folks, we trust that these broadcasts have been a blessing, encouragement, maybe even conviction to you. Let God speak and you say yes. Till the next time, may the Lord bless you in a fantastic way.